equally important on a ben adam lechavera level. Okay, we'll start with the halacha. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph that a person makes a bracha on the Ner Chanukah. That might not sound like a big chiddush to us, but the Gemara has to figure out how we know you can actually make a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara proves that point. But then the Gemara says an even more astounding chiddush. In the name of Rav Yirmiya, where it's bolded in the first source, Rav Yirmiya Amar, not only do you make a bracha when you light the candles, but rather, haroa ner shel Chanukah sarach levarach. When a person sees, if you see a menorah, you make a bracha. Amazing halacha. And the Gemara has a whole discussion, if it's the first night, if it's one of the later nights. Obviously, if you're just getting started with Chanukah, you can even make Shechianu. On the other nights, what bracha do you make upon seeing a menorah? Shasa nisim lavoseinu, bayimim mahim bazman azay. Obviously, you're not going to make the bracha of lahadlik ner Chanukah, right? Because you're not lighting the menorah. But you make a bracha of Shasa nisim lavoseinu. I'm seeing something that reminds me of the miracle. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. Is this, if I'm lighting my own menorah also, I would also make a bracha? What happens if I'm on my way home to light my menorah and I see someone else's menorah? Do I declare Shasa Nisim then? Or no, this is a halacha for people who don't have a menorah. This is for Jews who, Rachmana Litzlan, are living on the street and don't have a house. Menorah is a mitzvah that's connected to a house. If you don't have a house, you don't have an opportunity, presumably, to light the menorah. Although there is discussion about lighting menorahs outside and lighting menorahs on trains and lighting menorahs on airplanes. All the posts can discuss interesting things. But the Pashup Shat, as the Shulchan Aruch rules in source number 2, Mishalo hidlik ve'eino osid lahadlik bo'asu alayla. If a person has not yet lighted the menorah, and that is the correct English way to say it, and has no intentions of lighting the menorah that night, the whole story how I know that, but that's not for now. Lighted. V'gam ein madlikin alav besoch beso. And it's not being lighted on his behalf. It's not lit. The word's not lit. It's not being lighted on his behalf. Again, I mean, you should still talk normal. You know, it's like the person who's making all sorts of weird sounds during davening because he's saying the words so much more right than everyone else. Like, okay. Like, the Jews who say it regular are also davening. Like, it also counts. So, fine. So when you see the Ner Chanukah, you say Sha'asa Nisim, and if it's the first night, you say Sha'achiyana. So it's a real halach in Shulchan Aruch. If you don't have a menorah, or if you're not able to light that night, and you see someone else's menorah, if it's the first night, you say Sha'asa Nisim and Shechianu. If it's any of the other nights, you say Sha'asa Nisim. It's a very rare halacha. It's a very unusual halacha. And Tosfos points that out in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav and Aleph, that we don't really find the Birchas Haroah by anything else. Bishar Mitzvos, Tosfos writes in source number 3, Kagon Lulav Sukkah, Lo Takinu Levarich Leroah. Imagine, you don't have your own lulav. Do you make a bracha, says Tosfos, on seeing someone else's lulav? Do you make a bracha on seeing someone else's sukkah? Yeah?
Aren't there brachos like if you see like an exceptionally beautiful person?
Yes, there are brachos on re'iyah, but usually you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah object that you see. That's unusual, right? Of course we make a bracha on seeing lightning, we make a bracha. On seeing beautiful people, we make a bracha. On seeing the ocean, there's all sorts of brachas we say on seeing things. We make a birchas hachama every 28 years when the sun is back in its place. You know, we make brachas. We make brachas on seeing things, or acknowledging things. We make a bracha of Kiddush Levana when we see the moon undergoing the period of renewal. But to make a bracha upon seeing a mitzvah object is very strange. So why, in fact, do we do that? Hello, old friend. Why do we do that?
Have you come?
Why do we do that when we see someone's menorah? What's the pshat? So Tosfos says very cryptically, El gabiner Chanukah mishum chavivus hanes. You know why we make a bracha on Ner Chanukah upon seeing it? Because of the chavivus hanes, because of the beloved nature of the miracle. If you remember, we discussed the Rambam's cryptic statement that Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. I think those are the wrong pages. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. The Rambam describes the mitzvah of Chanukah as a mitzvah chaviva. So everyone's trying to figure out, where did the Rambam get this lashon from, that Chanukah is a chaviv mitzvah? The Pashup Shad is that the Rambam got it from this Tosfos. Or maybe Tosfos got it from the Rambam. guess depend who lived when. Right? But they both picked up on this word, chaviv. It's a mitzvah chaviva. There's something special about Ner Chanukah. It's more special than a lulav. And it's more special than a sukkah. So you make a bracha upon seeing it. Tosfos then goes on and says, well, maybe make a bracha on seeing it because we want people who don't have houses to have an opportunity to do the mitzvah. And since this mitzvah requires a house, we want to give poor people an opportunity to also be connected to the mitzvah. And Tosfos discusses that angle. But Tosfos' first shot is just, it's special. Chanukah is special. Chanukah is extra special. So you make a bracha upon seeing your friend's menorah. Well, what's so special about that? What is it about Chanukah that has this special quality that I make a bracha upon seeing my friend's menorah? So we're going to learn something very beautiful and very deep right now. Yes. Very practical also.
Don't we say a bracha when we light the candle during Orient
Chayish? No. I mean, we're not making a bracha on the lighting. We're making a bracha on the fact that God created fire on Moshe Shabbos.
On
benefiting. Yeah, you make a bracha when you benefit from the apple you eat also. But to make a bracha on seeing someone else do a mitzvah is very unusual. That's unusual. They don't do that by lulav, says Tosfos. They don't do that by sukkah. You're right. You and I are correct. You make brachas upon seeing things. There are brachas that are based on a visual experience. But it's extraordinarily rare that you make a bracha upon watching someone else do a mitzvah that you can't do. It's a little bit unusual. Some say that the birchas haroeh is connected to a fascinating halacha in the second volume of the Mishnah Berurah. The halacha is based on the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Brachos. Haroeh, right? Anyone know parak haroeh and Brachos? Anyone know the opening Mishnah, how it goes? Haroeh makom shenasu bo nisim li Yisrael. If you see the place, is the first Mishnah in the ninth parak of Brachos, if you see the place where miracles took place for the Jewish people, I mean, if you're in a makom, if you're in a place where Jews experienced awesome salvation, what do? You make a bracha. So some want to explain, saw this in the Sefer Mar Bechaim, of Avram Chaim Brim, who was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, and was very connected to the Boyana Rebbe, Talmud and a Chassid of the Boyana Rebbe as well. He said, he writes in his Sefer, he says, perhaps the reason you make a bracha upon seeing someone's menorah is because when you see, it's an amazing part, when you see someone else's menorah, you're seeing the makom shenasa nisim li Yisrael. Your menorah is not just a zecher to the Beis HaMikdash. Your home becomes the Beis HaMikdash. And your menorah is the place where the miracle happened. So maybe the birchas haroeh is based on that halacha. When you see the place where miraculous things happen, your menorah is not just commemorating that once upon a time there was a miracle, maybe far away from where you're physically lighting your menorah. But no, you mamish are the Kohen Gadol. The menorah that you're lighting is the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. By Yamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh, you're re-experiencing that miracle. So your house becomes the makom shenasu nisim li Yisrael. So following that halacha from the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos, you make a bracha upon seeing a miraculous place. And every Jewish home becomes such a miraculous place on Chanukah. It's a beautiful idea. A lot to think about there. Okay, but we need to understand what the chavivus. What exactly is this chavivus of seeing someone else's menorah? Why is that so special? There's not a lot of things that we can do for Hashem. If we're honest about it, there's not so many things we can actually do for Hashem. In the Medrash Tana Debei Eliyahu, it says, there's an amazing statement. It's not on the page in front of you. I'm just remembering it now. The Tana Debei Eliyahu says that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, do you really think like you're doing me a favor when you like put on your tefillin? Do you think you're doing me a favor when you keep Shabbos? Do you think you're doing me a favor when you learn Torah? Hashem says, you're not doing me a favor. First of all, the mitzvot that I gave you was me doing a favor for you. That's the first thing. But then the line in the Medrash says, if you want to do something for Hashem, you know what we can actually do for Hashem? You know what actually makes Hashem happy? I mean, it's nice you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. It's nice. But Hashem doesn't need your carbon. Hashem doesn't need you to offer him food on the Mizbeach, a reich nichalach. Hashem doesn't need that. What is Hashem? If kiviyachu we could say Hashem needs something, you know what Hashem needs? Hashem needs his children to get along. Because there's nothing worse, and I can tell you as a parent of four children, the Ayin Hara, I can tell you there's nothing worse than watching your children fight with each other. Even if it's like a silly thing. If it's not like a real fight, you know? It's just like Yaakov pulling Meir's hair because he's tired. Right? But it's sad. Like, it's such a bad feeling when you see your children fighting. So when Hashem sees Jews, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, when Hashem sees Jews not getting along, that's the saddest thing in the world. And when Hashem sees Jews respecting each other, the Lashon of the Medrash is Ovin Zaza, Umechabdin Zaza, loving each other and giving kavod to each other and respecting each other, says the Medrash Tana Debei Elio, that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest pleasure in the world. That's the ultimate thing we can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's go back to maybe the first place that I know to identify Hanukkah. Where's the earliest place that we find something in the Torah that's already foreshadowing Hanukkah? So believe it or not, we go back to Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, not just Sefer Bereishis. We go back to Parshas Bereishis, and we watch an amazing scene unfold in the fourth source. Vayihi miketz yamim, vayave kayin mipri ha'adama mincha la'ashem. Vehevel hevi gamhu, mibachor asono. Kayin brings his fruits and vegetables. Hevel's bringing from his flock. Ve'yisha Hashem el Hevel ve'el Minchaso. Hashem turns his attention to Hevel and his offering. Ve'el Kayin ve'el Minchaso lo sha'a. Hashem does not turn to Kayin. He's not interested in Kayin's offering. And Kayin gets very depressed. And Hashem says, "What are you so depressed? You could always do better." And Kayin takes note of the success of his brother Hevel. And he's jealous. He's enraged by it. And of course, we know the end of the story. Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Kayin El Hevel Achiv, Vayhi Biosim Basada, Vayokom Kayin El Hevel Achiv, Vayahar Gehu. Kayin rises up against his brother Hevel, and he kills him. You have a Sif Sechein here? You have it here? No. Okay, so Kayin kills Hevel. When did Kayin kill Hevel? Says the Medrash, an amazing, amazing secret of Torah. The Medrash reveals to us in source number 6, skip number 5 for a moment. The Medrash reveals to us different opinions about was creation of the world in Tishrei, was the creation of the world in Nisan. Says the Medrash, Man da Amar b'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, the one who holds that in Tishrei the world was created, yeah, how long was Hevel around for? Hevel was kayim, says the Medrash, min hachag v'ad hachanukah. Hevel was around, if the world was created in Tishrei, so Hevel was around from chag until Chanukah, from Sukkot until Chanukah. Hevel was killed on Chanukah. Kayin killed Hevel on Chanukah. Why did Kayin kill Hevel on Chanukah? But what was Kayin's problem with Hevel? Where did Kayin and Hevel... How did the first murder ever happen? And by the way, for those who are here on Sunday, you'll understand this that much better, because on Sunday we learned that the four exiles of Jewish history correspond to the three big averos, Gilui Arayos, Shpichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, and Lashon Hara. Those are the four big averos, right? The three that are Yareg Val Yavor, you have to die instead of doing, meaning you have to die instead of committing an act of Arayos, you have to die... If someone says, bow down to this statue or die, you have to die. If someone says, kill someone else or die, you have to die. And the fourth big avera is Lashon Hara. So the four big averos correspond to the four exiles. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, we learned about it on Sunday, that Golis Yavan corresponds to what? To Shvichas Damim. Interesting, the Chanukah is connected to Shvichas Damim because the first murder took place on Chanukah. The first murder, Kayin killed Hevel. It says here that Kayin killed Hevel. Hevel was only Kayim. He was only alive in the world until Chanukah. He was killed on Chanukah. What was the problem with Kayin and Hevel? And how does this help us understand the mystery of the Birchas HaRoah? I see my friend's menorah, and I make a bracha on someone else's menorah when I don't have my own menorah. And I'm not able to do the mitzvah. But I see my friend is doing a mitzvah. And I make a bracha over that menorah. The Paneach Raza was a Rishon who lived in the 12th century in France. And he writes in source number 5, read the Psukim carefully, it's very obvious what he says. The Paneach Raza writes a fascinating thing. You know what happened with Kayin and Hevel? Look what happened. Look what happens when a person becomes jealous. Look what happens when a person is trying to be something that he's not. And look how unhealthy a person could become when he feels threatened by the success of others, or he fails to feel the pain of others. Tremendous, tremendous insight in Bein Adam L'Chaveru, and Bein Adam L'Atzmo, and Bein Adam L'Makom. Says the Paneach Raza in source number 5, Vayihi, Pasuk says, Vayihi Hevel, it says that Hevel was a shepherd, and Kayin was an Oved Adama. So the question is, Lama lo hiktim es Kayin ha-Bachor? When it describes their professions, why does it mention Hevel before Kayin? Who is the older? Who is the older of the two children? Kayin was the older one. So why, when it talks about what they did professionally, does it mention Hevel before Kayin? Says the Paneach Raza, V'yesh lomar, she'amra al Kayin kanisi ish es Hashem. What was Kayin supposed to do with his life? Kayin was supposed to be involved in Klei Kodesh. Kayin was supposed to be the first Koilnik. Kayin was supposed to be the first guy to get smicha. Klomar la'avod es Hashem, shelo yihye lo shum umnus zulas zeh. That Kayin wasn't supposed to do anything other than what? To be one with Hashem. That was Kayin's avoda. Kanisi ish es Hashem. Kayin was supposed to be the Yisachar, and Hevel was supposed to be the Zvulun, providing for his brother. But you know what happened? You know what happened? Kayin was sitting and learning, and he saw that Hevel, you know, was making a lot of money in business. And he got jealous. He said, I also want to go into business. I also want to have a big house. I also want to drive a nice car. Yeah, but that's not your avoda. That's not what God wants from you. That's not how your soul is programmed. What happened? Says the Paneach Raza, where it's bolded, Rak mikei shara achar kach as Hevel achiv. When he saw that his brother was becoming a successful businessman, a successful cattle farmer, tofumnus. So he says, I also want to get a job. I also want to make money. Hainu rowet son. Yatza achar of litvos umnus. So he decided, I'm also going into business. You know, there's not so many people in the world, so I should probably, you know, I'll assume my brother has the monopoly on cattle, so I'll go into farming. So Hevel abandoned his life as what? As someone who was supposed to, I don't know, meditate on God all day, and he decided to go into business. Chayin meharoi le'inyan ve'kayin ove li'zacher ba'achrona ki'ayim ma'ucher b'zman b'polzeh. And therefore, why does it say, only after it tells us that Hevel was a farmer, then it tells us that Kayin was a shepherd. Kayin was older, says the Paneach Raza. Why not mention Kayin's profession first? The answer is because Kayin was just following Hevel. He was trying to be something that he's not. Kayin strayed from his avoda. He was negatively influenced by Hevel. Not that Hevel was doing anything wrong. For Hevel was doing the right thing. But Kayin wasn't. His name, Kayin. His mother called him Kayin because Kanisi Isha Hashem. This is supposed to be my child who's going to forge a relationship with God alone. Not with plants, not with fruits and vegetables. And because of that, because he didn't live up to who he was supposed to be, so what happens when he sees his brother Hevel being successful and God's rejecting his offering? He feels threatened by him. And he kills him. And his jealousy leads to the first murder of all time. So look what happens when a person is not able to recognize his place, to celebrate his friend's success. He should have said, I'm so happy you're a successful businessman, and I imagine you want me to be a successful Ben Torah. And we'll have a partnership like Yisachar and Zvulun. And we'll share our Olam Haba together. And it'll be exactly what's supposed to be, because each one of us will fulfill our tafkid and our tachlis in this world. But Kayin couldn't help but being jealous of Hevel, to the point that he eventually killed Hevel to try to make space for his own business, his own business pursuits. So that's the very opposite of Chanukah. Chanukah is supposed to be, what we started with again, Birchas Haroah. Why do you make a bracha upon seeing someone else's menorah? Again, it's a discussion in the Rishonah, but the Pashup Shad is, it's for a person who doesn't have his own menorah. So I could look at your menorah and I could be jealous. I could be peering through your window, watching you and your family gather around the menorah, singing Ma'usor, and I'm standing out in the cold with no place to go, and I could be so mad, I could be so jealous. Or I could be so happy for you that what? I could be so happy for you that, you know what? We're on the same team. You're my brother. We're Klal Yisrael. We're children of the same God. It's not a competition. It's not who can score more mitzvah points. It's not who can master more daf of Gemara to make someone else feel bad. The Gemara says that type of lo lishma, better not to do mitzvahs at all. And that's a nice way to say the Gemara. What the Gemara literally says is better you should have been killed in your mother's womb. A person who's going to spend his life turning Torah and mitzvahs into a weapon, the Gemara says it would have been better if your mother had a miscarriage. We don't need you in this world. We don't need you to make Torah into a weapon. It's very harsh, but it's also very real. Because Hashem says, don't think you're giving me nachas by making your siblings feel bad, or making your fellow Jews feel bad. Where did I come to this idea? So my brother Josh pointed it out to me last night. It's in the Rav Shlomo Karlbach's Rav Shlomo Katz book on Hanukkah, called The Soul of Hanukkah. Okay, we'll hear it in the words of Rav Shlomo. On Hanukkah, we give God back his dream. It's source number 7. How do we do this? Hashem has a dream. Hashem is a dreamer. Chodesh Kislev is a time for dreaming. The action, according to Kabbalah, for the month of Kislev is sleep. Right, it's Yaakov Avinu having his very elevated, powerful dreams. It's a time of dreaming big. Hanukkah is a time of dreaming big. The Chashmonaim dreamt big by lighting that little flask of oil and imagine that maybe it'll, who knows? You never know what'll happen. Right, it's a time of big dreams. When I see somebody else's light and I make a bracha, I am fulfilling God's dream, says Rav Shlomo. What does that mean? What's Hashem's dream? His dream was that people should say blessings over each other's light to celebrate each other's success, spiritually and physically. Right? To not be jealous of someone else, but to be able to celebrate. Hanukkah is so deeply connected to what? To the fight of Yosef and the brothers. And what does it say about the brothers? It doesn't just say that they hated Yosef, which the Torah does use the word, sinna. But first the Torah uses the word kinna. They were jealous of Yosef. They were that was their whole understanding of Yosef. It was nothing other than kinna, than jealousy. What's the gematria of Yosef? Yosef? No. So Yosef's connected to it. What's the gematria of Yosef? The Shulchan Kadosh says we read the parshios of Yosef during Hanukkah because Yosef is the ultimate personality of Hanukkah. The B'nai Yisrael brings a lot of Ramazim. The B'nai Yisrael says Yosef is gematria 156. The leader of Yavan, if Yosef represents what a Jew is supposed to be on Hanukkah, and Yosef reconciles with his brothers in a very deep way. Right? So the antithesis, the Zelu Mazeh of Yosef, the Melech Yavan is known as Antiochus. Right? We mentioned this last week, remember, because you were unsure about the Vav? Antiochus is 156. Antiochus Melech Yavan. Antiochus is 156. The B'nai Yisachar says that Melech Yavan is also 156, the king of Yavan. The king of Yavan represents the embodiment of the nation. So 156 is a big number when it comes to Hanukkah. What's the gematria of kinna? Jealousy. That's what it says. The brothers were jealous of Yosef. When they saw his ksonas pasim, they were jealous of Yosef. They couldn't stand it. Kinna is gematria 156. One of the kavanos, kabbalistically, for the first night of Hanukkah, is to mechaven a gematria of Hashem's name that equals 156. Hanukkah is the time where we break that kinna and we're able to what? To stand side by side with our fellow Jews, to unite together around Torah values and to celebrate each other's success in Torah and in Avodas Hashem. You see someone else's menorah, you make a bracha on that, you're giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu tremendous nachas. Hashem's dream, says Rav Shlomo, was that people would love each other, that it would blow people's mind when they see someone else's beauty. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy you married that awesome girl, even though I'm having trouble dating. I'm so happy that you and your wife were blessed with a child, even though we're struggling with infertility. I'm so happy you got that amazing job, even though I can't even get a bad job. I'm so happy for you. V'haftal reicha kamocha, I love you, I care about you. Let's look at the first two brothers in the world, says Rav Shlomo. What was the problem with Cain and Hevel? Imagine Cain would have said to Hashem, it's true that I'm not high enough to bring my sacrifice to you. Again, like we learned from the Paneach Raza, because he was too busy looking at someone else instead of being true to himself. But imagine if Cain would have said, I'm so glad you received my brother's carbon. How can I ever thank you for giving me a brother who's so holy? You know how hard it is to say that? To celebrate someone else's success? It's very hard. It's very, very hard to do. Do you know what would have happened? His sacrifice would have reached even higher than Hevel's. If Cain would have said, Hashem, I'm so happy, even though I didn't, Even though I didn't make the basketball team, I'm happy that my brother did. Even though I didn't get the job, I'm happy that my brother did. Even though I didn't get the girl, I'm happy that my brother did. To be able to celebrate your fellow Jew's success, I'm so happy that you finished Shas. Even though a little bit it makes me feel like a loser, like am I ever going to finish Shas? But I'm really happy if you run the same team, it's Gevaldik. We want to bring honor to Hashem together, so you're really good at Gemara, so why should I be jealous of your spiritual accomplishments? It's so silly. I should be so happy for you. You're my brother. How could I not celebrate your success? And if he would have celebrated, says Reb Shlomo, then Hashem would have said, Kayin, your willingness to celebrate your brother's success is the highest carbon you could possibly bring. But you know, friends, Hevel was also imperfect, says Reb Shlomo. Because what did Hevel not do right? Hevel, why didn't you empathize with your brother Kayin when he was going through a hard time? Why don't we see Hevel responding to Kayin? Why is only Hashem reaching out to Kayin and saying, Kayin, why are you depressed? When Yosef was sitting in jail for a crime he never committed, with two complete strangers for a crime they did commit, Yosef turns to them as a friend and says, why are you guys sad? Why are your faces fallen? What's going on? That's the meat of Yosef at Tzadik. Yosef is the one who at the beginning of last week's Parsha is hanging out with who? With the least chashuv brothers. V'hu nar es b'nei Bilhah es b'nei Zilpah, Nishei Aviv. He doesn't only hang out with the children of Leah. He hangs out with those siblings, those half-siblings, who aren't so confident. He's mechazik them. Right? So Hevel was also guilty of what? Hevel, why are you so happy that Hashem received your sacrifice? Why aren't you crying over your brother's sacrifice that was rejected? Why don't you go to Cain and say, I'm so sorry that Hashem didn't receive yours? I'll tell you something stronger, says Reb Shlomo. If Hevel would have said to God, thank you very much for receiving my sacrifice, but I don't want you to take mine unless you also receive my brother's, do you know what would have happened? There would have been redemption for the whole world. Mashiach would have come. That's the highest level. What's the makor? That's like when they asked the Chazon Ish, what's the source for his opposition to Jewish girls being drafted into the Israeli army? Or when they asked the Chafetz Chaim, what's the source for maintaining certain standards in yeshiva? And the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish and different stories, they all the tzaddikim did the same thing. They opened up their jackets. In some situations, they actually opened up their shirts and they pointed to the heart and they said, here's the source. Libi Omerli, like Rashi writes in one place in Chumash. All right? So? I think Rav Shlomo knew a thing or two about Avos Yisrael. So he's the source. He's the source. Where's the source of Mashiach would have come? I don't know. But all I know is that for the last 2,000 years, since Chorban Bayis Sheni, which was rooted in Sinas Chinam, we haven't been able to bring Mashiach. So if these two brothers would have loved and cared about each other in such a way, is it so crazy to say that would have brought redemption to the world? I don't know. Maybe yes. Maybe yes. Let's learn about two brothers who got it right. Moshe and Aaron. And in particular, I want to highlight Aaron. I want to speak about Aaron. I remember when I was in YU and Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, the brother of the Rav, passed away. And I remember Rabbi Lam gave a hesped, a huge gathering in Lamport Auditorium. I remember Rabbi Lam speaking of the patira of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. It was amazing to see such a gadol in the flesh. It's an amazing thing. And I remember he spoke very honestly about... Now, Rav Aaron was not a lightweight, okay? I don't know if you're holding who Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the brother of the Rav, right, was certainly not a small person. He was a big Rosh Yeshiva in his own right in Chicago and here in YU. He was a very big person, right? But he wasn't the Rav. He may have known more than the Rav. I don't know. I'm not, like, who are we to assess their learning and their tzidkus? And I don't know who Hashem liked more. But I could tell you in terms of kind of like the, you know, the celebrity status, it was the Rav. Rav Aaron was big stuff. Right? And Rabbi Lam spoke about what it must have been like to be the brother of Soloveitchik. You know how hard it must have been to be the brother of the Rav? You know how hard it is to not live in the shadow when your brother is the Rav? And yet, he spoke about Rav Aaron's humility and Rav Aaron's ability to celebrate his brother's success. And his name, Aaron, was exactly the essence of who he was. Chanukah corresponds to Hod, Lahodos Lahalo. Kabbalistically, it corresponds primarily to the sphere of Hod. Yeah? Chesed Gvura, Tiferes Netzach Hod. Chesed is Avraham. Gvura is Yitzchak. It was Shpizin. Sfiras Homer. Tiferes is Yaakov. Netzach is Moshe. Hod is Aaron. The Midah of Hod is submissiveness. To humble yourself before someone else. To not be jealous, but to be happy for someone else. And that was true about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, living, dare we say, in the shadow of his brother, the Rav. And it was true about Aaron HaKohen, living in the shadow of his brother, Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine how hard it must have been to be the brother of Moshe Rabbeinu? And Moshe and Aaron had this beautiful relationship, as the Torah highlights, Rashi and Parshas Va'era says. Sometimes it says Moshe before Aaron, sometimes it says Aaron before Moshe, to teach you that they were shekulin, that they were equal, they were of equal greatness, whatever that means. But you have to understand Aaron's ability to be happy for his brother Moshe. It's superhuman. It's mamish superhuman. When Moshe Rabbeinu was negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in source number 8 at the Sneh, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, don't send me. He says, please, Hashem, shalach nabiyat tishlach. Send the one that you always send. Aaron's been so loyal to the Jewish people. I grew up in the lap of luxury. I was raised in Paro's house. I didn't suffer with my fellow Jews. Send Aaron a Kohen. And what does Hashem say to Moshe as they're negotiating for those 7 days by the Sneh, according to Chazal? Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, in source number 8, Pasuk Yudalid. Hashem gets angry at Moshe. Vayomer halo Aaron achicha halivi yadati. Kidaber yidaberhu. Vegam hinei hu yotze lekrasecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. First of all, you should know that Aaron's going to be your spokesman. And Aaron, your brother, Halevi, Moshe Rabbeinu lost the kahuna in this moment. He's your brother in Levite status, but he's not your brother in kahuna. Moshe, because you're rejecting Hashem too many times, he lost the kahuna to Aaron. So Aaron got something that Moshe didn't get. Right? But Moshe is being appointed the leader of Klal Yisrael now. Moshe is the one who the Navi is going to refer to it as what? Zichru Toras Moshe. The Navi doesn't say Zichru Toras Aaron. We don't call it Toras Aaron. We call it the Torah of Hashem, Toras Moshe. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, as he becomes Rabbeinu now, he's becoming the leader of Klal Yisrael. The Rishonim already say Moshe Rabbeinu is Gematria 613. Moshe is the Torah. So how do you live as an Aaron HaKohen when your brother is Mamish, the one who went up to Har Sinai, went up to the Olamos to bring down the Torah, fought against the angels, took the Jews out of Mitzrayim? How do you feel good about yourself? And the answer is by celebrating your brother's success. Hashem says, Moshe, what's wrong with you? You don't think Aaron is going to come out to greet you as you reunite with Aaron? You're coming from where? You're coming from Yisro's house, having married Yisro's daughter. You're going to come back to Mitzrayim. Aaron's going to meet you along the way. V'racha, he's going to see you. V'samach belibo. And he's going to rejoice in his heart. Chever, that's not stam. It doesn't say put on a smile. You could also put on a smile. You could be burning up on the inside with jealousy. You could also put on a smile. You can congratulate your sibling, give a big mazel tov, or your chavrusa, or your roommate, right, on their success. And you could put on a smile, but it could be killing you on the inside. Why is he so successful? Why am I still struggling? But Aaron HaKohen is not only going to put on a smile, that's not the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says what? V'racha v'samach belibo. He's going to rejoice in his heart. He's going to really feel it. He's going to really feel your success as his success. He's going to be able to look through your window, see your candles burning, and be able to say, Sha'asa nisim lavosenu b'yamim ahim b'zman hazeh, and not feel bad for himself that he doesn't have his own menorah. That's the chavivus. That's the beauty that Tosfos was talking about. That's what makes Chanukah so special. When you see someone else do a mitzvah, to be able to celebrate it. It's the antithesis of the root of Chanukah, the murder of Hevel at the hands of his jealous brother Kain. Yeah. Yeah, Aaron may be equally humble to Moshe. And Moshe may not be the humblest person ever. He was the most humble person on the face of the earth in his time. The Medrash says that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were more humble than Moshe. And Aaron was his equal. V'nachnu man, what are we? Yeah, Aaron was his equal in humility. Why the Torah emphasized the humility of Moshe, we could talk about. Probably because Moshe was the leader. And it's very hard for the guy who's mamish on top to maintain humility.
Was
So that's the chiddush, that the one who's mamish on top, the one who's mamish on top was also most humble. Aaron was humbled by the fact that he lived in the shadow of his brother Moshe. It's less of a chiddush to say that Moshe, who mamish, pel, peh, daber bo, spoke to Hashem face to face. That such a person should have humility is a...
Didn't he only get to that much rate of puzzling,
though? Maybe. We've said that in the past. We're not saying Shetner, yeah? Could be. Yeah? With Michal? So we started again. We started with the halacha that if you see someone else's menorah and you don't have your own menorah, you make a bracha on their menorah. So that, so, yeah. No,
say. That's what I'm saying. I understand that, like, when you see it, like, okay, but how do you know the entire, so for the entire shir has been started off that with that mitzvah that when we see someone like menorah, we say a bracha. And I think we just circled back that the reason is because of this is the one time of the year where we're supposed to, not one year.
Chanukah is correct. Again, we're correcting the original chet of Chanukah. The original chet of Chanukah is that Kain was Hevel.
Okay.
Right? And Aaron HaKohen, again, Al Yedei Kohanecha HaKadoshim, Aaron HaKohen is the one who's, right? The Kohanim are the ones who made Chanukah. It's the mid of Aaron, and the mid of Aaron is Hod, is submissiveness. It's to be able to be humbled in the presence of someone who's greater than you, and at the same time, to not feel bad for yourself. Right? And that was the awesome level of Aaron. Now it's Aaron and it's Moshe, as I'll show you in a second. It was the love that they had for each other. Yeah.
He also has the Chanukah connection. It's also Hod is in the series for Chanukah. It's connected to Chanukah, which is connected to Aaron also.
Correct.
That's
correct. Lahodos ulahalom. That's the midah of Chanukah. Submissiveness, humility, to be able to admit that there's someone greater than you, and to not feel bad for yourself about that. To be happy because we're on the same team. That's the whole point. We're brothers. If you realize we're brothers, and the greatest honor you can give Hashem is by loving your fellow Jew, so then you understand. Then you understand the secret of Chanukah. Okay? What was Aaron's reward? Aaron's reward, the Gemara tells us, in the Gemara in Shabbos, in source number 9, that because Aaron was samach b'libo, so the reward for that was he was zocha to wear the choshen on his chest. And the choshen, of course, was the breastplate that had what? That had the names of all the Shvatim. Because Aaron HaKohen was the person, as we learned in the Kedushas Levi, right? Aaron's Midah is the ability to what? To know, I'm the Kohen Gadol, I'm also the best. But I don't hold myself to be better than anyone else. And on my breastplate, right over my heart, my golden heart, the beautiful heart of Aaron HaKohen, I'm going to wear the names of all the different members of Klal Yisrael. Because I don't see myself as better than, we're a team. You need a Kohen Gadol, just like you need a Moshe Rabbeinu. But it doesn't make me better than anyone else. When Moshe and Aaron meet up and they finally have that reunion that Hashem predicted, described, told Moshe, Aaron's going to rejoice. So they run towards each other, says the pasuk in source number 11, Vayishaklo. And they kissed one another. Ask the Medrash, Mahu Vayishaklo? Right, what does it mean that they kissed one another? Zeh samach v'gedulaso shel zeh, v'zeh samach v'gedulaso shel zeh. They were misameach one another. Each one was so happy for the other one's success. A kiss, right? That intimate embrace. Right? It's the expression of what? Of truly loving each other. Of truly loving each other. Why is a kiss, let me explain. Why is a kiss more significant than a hug? Because when you hug someone, yeah, when you hug someone, so your faces are facing away from each other. Someone just told me this in the sefer. I can't remember the name of the sefer. I wrote it down. When you hug someone, right, you're looking like passing. You're not looking them in the face. When you kiss someone, your mom is pal pa. Your mom is looking them in the face and saying, even when I'm looking you in the face, I'm seeing you for who you are and your success, and I'm celebrating that, and I'm kissing you. Right? It's mamish, it's face to face. So a kiss, that's why Esav, right? That's why the dots by Esav are on which word? The question the Sefer, I can't remember the name of the Sefer, the question the Sefer asked is, why are the dots on the kiss and not the hug? It says Esav kissed Yaakov and he hugged him. So we have the kiss. But the hug was real? So the Sefer said, yeah, Esav can hug you. A hug's not such a big deal. A hug, you look past the person. You're back to back with them. Your heads are like back to back. But to kiss someone for real, that's hard. You have to really like them. So the fact that Moshe and Aaron, it says they kissed, that's what the Medrash is hinting to here. That they were sameach, they were overjoyed with each other's godless, with each other's success. They were proud of each other. And that's what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is about what? Chanukah is about celebrating each other's success. Being able to make a birchas haroah, it's the only mitzvah that has this aspect. To celebrate the success of another Jew. I think that's the reason, when you look into Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimel, where the pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Hine ma tov u'manaim sheves achim gam yachad. How beautiful, how sweet it is when you see brothers who are united, who get along. What's the next word in the pasuk? Kashemen hatov al arosh, yored ahazakan, zakan aharon. All of a sudden, it mentions the oil on the beard of Aaron, which the Gemara talks about what that's a reference to. But why is the pasuk talk about oil and Aaron and brothers getting along? It's very obvious to us, because that's the message of Chanukah. Birchas haroah, the rectification of the murder of Cain al Yidei Hevel, to be able to celebrate someone else's success is really not a pashut thing. Rav Kook asked the following question. When we light the menorah, the bracha that we recite on the menorah is Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. What question does Rav Kook ask in his commentary on the Siddur? Rav Kook asks in Source 15, why do we say Lahadlik Ner in the singular Chanukah? Why Ner? Ner in the singular? We light Neros. In fact, we try to do like Beis Hillel, Mosif Aholich, Mahadrim and Mahadrim. We try to increase the light. So Rav Kook, in the way that only Rav Kook could say, explains very, very deeply, very poetically, Al Yidei Pnimiyas HaTorah, Rav Kook explains, there's a lot of different oros in the world that sometimes we see them as separate domains. Rav Kook says, if you look in the third line, Or HaTorah, Or HaNevuah, Or HaChachma, Or HaTzedek, Or HaGvura, Or HaSimcha, Or HaChesed, Or HaAva, right? Or means the full illumination of, the expression of. There's such a thing as a radiant type of Torah, and a radiant type of prophecy, and a radiant type of wisdom, and a radiant type of righteousness, and a radiant type of strength, of true strength, and radiant simcha, and radiant kindness, and radiant love. And sometimes you see them as separate domains. But on Chanukah, as we say the 13 words of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, of the Bracha, 13 is Gematria Echad, and 13 is Gematria Ahava. And 13 represents, right, a oneness. That's why Echad is Gematria 13. Sometimes you look at things in life, and you say, well, they're like, you know, they're loosely connected. But that's not true. At their Shoresh, they're 100% connected. In fact, at our Shoresh, right, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as Yosef Schatz and Max and Albert and Moshe Tzvi. They're not separate entities. There's no such thing as Chachma and Nevuah and Gvura and Tzedek. They're not different things. At the Shoresh, it's all one light. It's all one or. It's all the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we look at the life through the lens of Pirud, where things are refracted and broken apart, we start to see them as separate domains. There's me and there's you. There's Chesed and there's Gvura, and they seem like opposites. But on Chanukah, says Rav Kook, we're trying to get back to that level of oneness. As we say the 13 bracha, the 13 words of the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. And the war was fought, says Rashi, by 13 soldiers. And the Avanim tried to make 13 breaches in the fence. 13 is Gematria Echad. We're trying to get back to the oneness. We learned that on Chanukah, it's called Chanukah because Chanu Chafhei. Chafhei represents the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. On Chanukah, it's a time where we don't want to see the world through a pirud. We want to try to show that all the various oros and all the various neros are all really one ner. And therefore, Rav Kook says, and you can think about this idea, it's a very deep idea. Rav Kook says, that's why we say Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Because in Chanukah, it's not about a division of Neros. It's not your Neros versus my Neros. And what halacha brings that out better than the Birchas Haroah? That I can make a bracha on your menorah. Seeing my friend do a mitzvah makes me eligible to make a bracha. To celebrate your success. Because it's not your success versus my success. It's all one Ner, it's all one Or. It's all one connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Klal Gadol of the Torah, arguably the biggest principle of the Torah, is the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha Ani Hashem. To love your fellow Jew like yourself. I want to try to explain to you what that actually means. Because you'll tell me it's impossible. There's no way I can love anyone more than I love myself. It's just not possible. There's no way that a person can get to such a madriga to be able to love someone more than he loves himself. It's impossible. Can't be done. The Ramban agrees with you. The Ramban on the words of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha says, you're right. Haflaga. Says the Ramban in Source 17, you're right, it's exaggerated. It's an exaggeration. You can't love someone like yourself. But what can you do? Says the Ramban, Ki lo yikabo lev ha'adam, she'ahov es chaveiro ka'avaso es nafsho. It's impossible. It's impossible to love someone as much as you love yourself, and the Torah would never ask that of you. So if you think v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha means love someone as much as yourself, it's not true. It's not true emotionally. It's not true halachically. Says the Ramban, how do we paskin bav metzia daf samach beis? You're alone in the desert with one cup of water, you and your friend. Who drinks the water? It's your bottle of water. Who drinks the water? You split it, you give it to your friend. You drink it, what happens? You drink it. We pass on Rabbi Akiva, who says what? Chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha. Push comes to shove. If one of us is going to die, I have a right to save my life and to leave you behind. We don't have to die hand in hand, sharing half a cup of water. So it's not halachically true. It's not halachically true that what? That I have to love someone like myself. I love myself more halachically. So what do I need to do? Says the Ramban. And the Ramban in some ways makes it so much easier, so much more realistic, but he also, by telling us what the Torah actually wants us to do, it's very hard. That's what we're learning today. It's very hard. The Ramban says, what is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? What does it really mean? Says the Ramban, where it's bolded. Rather, what's being asked of us is that Yahav b'rabos hatova lechaveiro kasher adam osa l'nafsho v'lo yitein shi'urin ba'ahava. You should want for your friend the good things that you want for yourself. Do you want your friend to get a job as good as your job? Do you want your friend to marry a woman who's as great as the woman you want to marry yourself? Do you want your friend, your neighbor, to get as much nachas from his children as you get from yours? Do you want your friend to get the same 100 on the midterm that you got? Or is it more geschmack if you get 100 and your roommate gets a 90? It shouldn't be that way. Ramban says, that's v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Just like I want the best for myself, I want the best possible life for myself. So I have to want the best possible life for my friend. That's true in gashmias. And it's true in Ruchnias. I want my friend to do more mitzvahs than me. And I want to celebrate his success. And I want to make a bracha on his menorah. Even if I don't have my own menorah. That's v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And that's the klal gadol b'Torah. That's what Torah is all about. And like I said at the beginning, that's what gives nachas ruach to Hashem. It's the only thing we can give Hashem. Hashem says, it's nice, you wear tefillin, that's great, you keep kosher. Those are all good things. But when I see that ohavin zeh u'mechavdin zeh zeh, that you love each other, that it's not more geschmack for you when you get a good score on the test and your friend gets a bad score. That you actually, oh, I wish you would have got 100 also, even though it a little bit takes away from what makes me special or feel good about myself. Then Hashem says, that's the ultimate strength in the world. That's the greatest strength in the world. Rav Chaim Brisker is quoted in Source 14. I'll just tell it to you outside. Rav Chaim Brisker said, why is it that when a person has a din Torah, yeah, you and your friend are having a monetary dispute over 100 bucks. So you go to Beis Din. And Beis Din rules in favor of your friend. Okay? Now imagine another scenario. Right? The next day you also come to Beis Din with a shaila. I have a chicken. Right? It was shechted, but I'm not sure if maybe something's wrong with this chicken. I'm not sure if it's kosher. And Beis Din rules that you lose the chicken. Right? Let's make it even the same value. Okay? You and your friend had a monetary dispute about $10, and Beis Din ruled that your friend gets the $10. And the next day, you brought a chicken to Beis Din, and Beis Din ruled that your $10 chicken is not kosher. Why is it so much harder for you to accept Beis Din in the first case than in the second case? You lose the same $10 in both cases. Yeah, but when I lose and someone else gains, that's hard. That's hard. Rav Chaim Brisker said, a person sometimes will yell at the dayan. He'll yell at the judge and say, "Oh, this is a corrupt Beis Din." But if he ruled against your chicken, if he said your chicken's not kosher and that cost you the same amount of money, you'd say, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, now I know the MS." So why, when you got into a monetary dispute with your friend, all of a sudden are you like suspect that the Beis Din is corrupt? You know why? Because you lost to another person. And it's hard to what? It's hard to celebrate someone else's success, especially when it comes out of your own pocket. But that's what it means to be an elevated Jew. And that's the Shorish of Chanukah. That's the tikkun of the murder of Cain of Hevel. To be able to celebrate your friend's success. It's such a hard thing. And that, says Rav Kook, is Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, in the singular. That we're all one Ner, we're all one team. We're all one people working together. That's what the Ramban says, V'haft L'Recha Kamocha. I want good things for myself, but do I want the same good things for my Chavrusa? Or I like to be just a little better than my Chavrusa in learning, and a little more successful in dating, a little more successful in getting the job. That's wrong. That's not the way Hashem wants us to be. It's not the way we're supposed to be. Okay, let's wrap up with the final two sources. The Imrei Emes, the Ger Rebbe, in this week's Parsha. Son of the Sfas Emes passed away in 1948. The Imrei Emes says, he quotes an amazing Torah from the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Harim. The Chiddush Harim said, in the second line, that in Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says, Lo ro ish es achiv, velo kavu ish mitachtav. By the Makkah of Choshech, by the plague of darkness, the Pasuk says that no man saw his brother, and no person, v'lo what? V'lo kamu ish mitachtav. And no man got up from his place. Said the Chiddush Harim, it's one of the stronger Bein Adam L'Chavero insights that I know, She'im ein Adam roa es Chavero ba'ayin tova, ze'u simin she'eno b'shlemus. What does the Pasuk say? Lo ro ish es achiv. It's not just that it was dark. Right? Yavan, of course, is keneged choshech. Galus Yavan is a spiritual darkness. What does it mean to not see your friend? To not look at your friend? I can't bear to watch my friend be successful. Hurts me too much. That's broken. That type of kinah is very broken. That's the pagam of Yosef and the brothers. Yosef, who's trying to embrace the B'nai Bila and the B'nai Zilpa, and the brothers who are trying to murder Yosef. Yeah? So, lo ro ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav. Says the Chiddush Harim, lo ro ish es achiv, we'll be done in a few minutes, lo ro ish es achiv, if a person doesn't see his brother, if a person, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, seeing your brother, taking care of our fellow Jews. That's what the announcement is. Lo ro isa shachiv. If you don't see your brother, if you don't see someone else who's suffering, if you don't see someone else's success because you're too scared to look, lo kamu ish mitachtav, then you can't rise from your place. It's a sign that what? That you're not shalim. Kishu lehefich v'yesh ayin tova me'echad l'chaver or nasa or. When you see a Jew in the right way, says the Chiddush Harim, that creates or. And that's what the Pasuk says, U'lechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'mosh v'osam. While the Egyptians were sitting in the dark, the way that Jews have to see one another is that we have to see each other in a good way, and that creates or. That itself creates or. I'll tell you an amazing remez. Two tzaddikim, who had the same nevuah, the same Ruach HaKodesh. One is from the Oalei Shem, of Shem Klingberg, and the other one's from the Rebbe of Baran, of the Or of Asimcha. The Sefer Oalei Shem and the Or of Simcha both bring the same gematria. What's the gematria of Ulechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'mosh v'osam? I'll just tell it to you. Ulechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'mosh v'osam. It's 1706. It's the same gematria as Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Yuvanav. 1706. The Oel Hashem and the Or V'Simcha both bring the same remez, that it says that the Yavanim, right, who are the embodiment of Choshech, well, in Mitzrayim it was the form of Makas Choshech, Lo Ro Ish Es Achiv, if you can't look at someone else, if you can't see someone else's menorah and make a bracha on it, then that's a sign that you've succumbed to Yavan, you're living in the dark. But if you're able to what? To see someone else's Or and celebrate it, that creates more Or. And therefore, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'mosh v'osam is gematria b'mei matizyel b'nei yochanan k'vayin gadol chashmonai v'anav. 1706. Amazing remez. Okay, let's just learn the final source. Rabbi Nassan in the Likutei Halachos says, of course, and we already kind of alluded to this, right? Rabbi Nassan says, this whole Inyan is the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as well. Beis Shammai says, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Beis Shammai is interested in making Yiddishkeit more and more exclusive, more limiting, and Beis Hillel is looking to what? To spread the light, to share with others. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. V'zeh b'chinas ha'plukta sh'bein Beis Shammai u'bein Beis Hillel. Says Rabbi Nassan in the Likutei Halachos on Rosh Chodesh. The machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai savri poches v'holeich ha'pari ha'chag. Beis Shammai says we try to go down 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like the animals that are brought over the course of Sukkis. Ki zeh yadua b'divir ha'boseinu zichrono l'bracha. Sheh Shammai haya kapton. Shammai was tough. When the Ger came to Shammai in the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph and said, teach me kol ha'Torah while standing on one foot. What did Shammai do? Get out of here. He drove him away with an Amas HaBinyan. He took the builder's block. Shammai was a contractor by profession. And he said, get out of here. He took the measuring rod and he said, get out of here. Not interested in being Makari of you in some cheap way. You're not serious. Not serious enough to be one of our people. Valkein Richek Asagerim Shabolis Gair Shalokadin. So Shammai pushes people away. Shammai's not interested. Shammai says, if you're not going to do the what? If you don't even have your own menorah, don't make a bracha on my menorah. Don't do me any favors. Shammai pushed away the converts. Aval Hillel ha'onov ma'od. But Hillel, in his humility, was able to reach out to people. Keirev osam gamkein. He was makariv, even gay requests. Ki Shammai hayit tzadik gadol. Shammai was a big tzadik. Aval haya holech v'chinas midas hadin. He was a little bit too harsh. Not interested in being makari of the lowly people. Hakein Beis Shammai Shayu Talmidav. So therefore, Beis Shammai, who followed the Mahalach of Shammai, they said, we have to what? Make the Ner Chanukah exclusive. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I want to limit the number of people who have a Shaychus to this light. An exclusive club. That was the world of Shammai. Says Rabbi Nassan in the last paragraph, about Beis Hillel Shayu Mitalmidei, Hillel, Beis Hillel, which was the Mahalich of Hillel, Shaya Anav Ma'od, Savri Lehefrech. They held the just opposite. Shetzrichin Lehaschem Mimata Lamala. You go from the bottom up, Lehadlik Tchila Ner Echad, and then you're Mosef Aholech. Ki Imchas V'Shalom Lo Yisratu Atzadikim Lekarev. Because if the Tzadikim, God forbid, say we're not interested, we're an exclusive club. Ki im ha'agunim ha'shleimim sh'ru'uyim l'hayir behem kol ha'tikunim kama'at avda chas v'shalom, pleitas Yisrael. If the tzaddikim are going to make an exclusive club, so what happens to the majority of Klal Yisrael? What happens to everyone else? What happens to the Jews in the street and doesn't have his own menorah? He has no shaychus to Chanukah? And the answer is, of course he does. He makes a bracha on your menorah. Right? And you have to make your menorah accessible to him so that he can see it. All the more so, Beis Hillel was looking to the future. Times and what? We're going to be in low places. But we have to know that that a person still has a sheikhus. And it's a responsibility for those who are very successful, so to speak, to continue to reach out to those who are a little bit down in the dumps. To show respect to one another, to love one another, and to celebrate each other's successes. And not like Hevel, when he saw his brother Cain suffering, to say, whatever, God accepted my carbon, I'm good. But to feel the pain of one's fellow Jew. I'll end with just a line that the Lubavitcher Rebbe once wrote in a letter. Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote to someone in a letter, on so many occasions, I have asked that people write to me about the good news in their lives. In this way, they would be fulfilling the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. If you tell Lubavitcher Rebbe good things that happened to you, you fulfill Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. You know why? For that would be the greatest act of kindness they could do for me. Someone once came to the Rebbe and asked for a blessing for a child. And when he was blessed with the child, he didn't come back to tell the Rebbe. And the Rebbe was very upset. He saw him later. He said, why didn't you tell me? I suffered with you in your time of suffering. I wanted to celebrate with you in your time of joy. I wanted to be able to be happy for you. Again, it takes a tzaddik, a real tzaddik to do such a thing. But again, that's the rectification of Yosef and the brothers. That's the rectification of Kayin and Hevel. That's the secret of Ahadlik Ner in the singular Chanukah. That's the secret of this unusual halacha, the chavivus of the Birchas Harala. And in the Mirtz Hashem, that's the way, like Rav Shlomo said, to fulfill Hashem's dreams and to make Mashiach a reality. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to see each other in a good way. You should have good eyes. Okay, Shkoyach.
No.
Ay, vi ala gora, vi ala jo, vi ala milcha moshe, asis ala voseiro, ayami mahen bazmanase. Oy ala nise, vi ala borka, vi ala gora, vi ala jo, vi ala milcha moshe, asis ala voseiro, ayami mahen bazmanase.